Sometimes you leave without notes printed. You have them on your computer. So that's us this morning here. So bear with me. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." We're just going to stop right there. But the idea of us being justified by faith, that it is a free gift. Romans 5:1, the verse we're looking at, it's a free gift that is given to us, the justification. Last time I think I talked about being justified, I did not talk about justification as if we had never sinned. That is what justification means, just as if I had never sinned. Can you think about the fact, Monica talked a little bit about how much God loves us. Way long before we were born, He loved us. We're sinful creatures. But when Jesus went to the cross, God sent His Son. He went to the cross and He died for us. He took our sins. And when we accept the grace that He offers us, we are just as if we had not sinned. I don't know about you, but I get chills. Because we serve a holy God. Just as if we had not sinned. This is how we can come to Him. Because of His love within us. We're going to touch on this just a little bit further. But I'd like for you to go to chapter 6. We're going to spend much time in chapter 6 this morning. That'll be our main focus. We'll venture into 7 and 8 for a bit here. I've titled my message this morning, Grace, Freedom from the Clutch of Sin, with a subtitle, The Enabling Power. And if we really want to look at grace today, this is grace in the New Testament. The enabling power of God. I'm going to say some things about grace this morning that's going to shake us a little bit, because it's not something that I really, really was sure of until I dug. And as I dug in the Scriptures, my mind had to do some rethinking. And I'm hoping this morning, if you don't understand grace, that possibly your mind's going to do some rethinking this morning. We want what's in the Word of God. We want what we're taught, but we want to make sure what we're taught is the Word of God. Because if we're taught something other than the Word of God, it's false. So we want what the Word of God teaches us. Romans 6, verse 1, we're going to read through this. I'm going to read all the way through verse 23. Let's just read the whole chapter. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about a few of these things. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but... Let me read that again. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, we'll go back to verse 1. He asks here the question, what shall we say then? He's referring back to chapter 5, where he was talking about grace, how there's more grace as there's more sin. So what were the people thinking? I believe Paul has the idea that maybe they're thinking, well, there's grace. The more I sin, the more grace there is. So why live above? Why live under anything but the sin that I've been living in before? Because there's grace. The more we sin, the more grace. But Paul is saying, no, absolutely not. Verse 2, he says, God forbid, certainly not. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Dying to sin and living to righteousness. Elsewhere expressed by putting on the new, ceasing to do evil and learning to do well. I believe that's one of the struggles that we have today. We are not dead to sin. Did you notice I said we? Because I'm not going to point fingers at anybody this morning. But he teaches us that we are to be dead to sin. Now hang on with me there, stick with me, because I'm not coming across with the idea this morning that once you give your heart to the Lord that you are totally sinless. Because there's teachings in Scripture that would teach that that's not how it is. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? He talks here about being buried in verse 4. When we give our heart to the Lord, when we accept what? The grace that He offers to us, then we are baptized. As a sign that we are buried with Him in baptism and we are resurrect with Him in new life. We've been planted together in the likeness of His death. We shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. I have to think about a kernel of corn. That kernel of corn is put into the ground. And unless that kernel dies, it will not sprout. There has to be death. So as we die to self, when we accept the grace, the power that He gives us, the new life that He gives us, there is death that happens. We die to ourselves. And we receive that power that He offers us. We've been united with Christ in His death, and so we are united with Christ in His resurrection. Philippians 3:10 says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. This whole thing of the idea of suffering, there's suffering that goes with committing ourselves to God. Let's face the facts. There's suffering that goes with that. But the price or the wages, not the wages, I'm saying that wrong, but the gift that is with this suffering far exceeds the suffering. Suffering is for a short time. Eternity is forever. Verse 6, we talk about the old man that is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed. When we talk about destroyed, we're talking about something that has lost its power. that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead from sin, he that is dead is freed from sin. Now I had to think this morning, and please bear with me when I say this. But I had to think this morning, many times now we've had a casket. The last was John Freeman. We've had a casket setting right here, and there's a body in there that is totally dead. We can walk up to that casket and we can ask questions. We're not going to get an answer. We can reach in and we can shake. We're not going to get an answer. The body is dead. For he that is dead is freed from sin. When the body is dead, life is gone. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So our sin nature dies. Our sin nature has to die. This thing of being under Satan has to stop. When our sin nature dies, we come into agreement with Christ. And there's now something that flows between us and God. There's communion, there's fellowship. So many times we like to mix those two together, and we can't mix them together. Because if I try to communicate with God, and I expect God to work in my life, and there be a continual flow coming into my life, but yet I'm focusing on earthly things because that's really where I want to go, it's not going to happen. We can hide for a while. Let me share with you what happened to a 70-year-old man, and it breaks my heart when I think about this. A 70-year-old man that he was in his 70s, I should say. He was a pastor for many, many years. He painted a picture of being in union with Christ, of being in fellowship with Christ. But as he got older, he began to confess. He lived in adultery for many, many years. He was not dead to sin. There was a census that was done that took 200 some men, 200 pastors. I don't remember the exact number, but there were 200 some pastors that they took and they questioned and they started asking them about the moral life. And there were 200 pastors that had agreed that they had sinned in sexual sins. They had not yet died, but there was one thing that every single one of those pastors agreed to. When they asked them about their prayer life, it was dead. Friends, we need to stay on our knees. We need to continue to seek God. We need to worship at the feet of Jesus, because if we don't worship that, we're going to worship something else. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, I really want us to think about. Verse 11, he says, likewise. Same as what we just talked about. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon means to consider yourselves. May I ask a question of each one of us here this morning, including myself. Am I considering myself dead unto sin? Do I believe that the grace, the enabling power of Jesus, is strong enough to help me through my walk? Or do I have an excuse that I just can't? Let's continue. He says there in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. When sin begins to reign in our mortal body, when sin begins to reign in our body, we are in bondage. I had to think about a backpack. I was going to bring one this morning and I forgot it. But I had to think about us walking with a backpack. I went on a hike one time. I had over 50 pounds, I believe, in my backpack. It got heavy as I went. But we hiked for about 3 days and we did some pretty serious hiking. But I carried with me this backpack. And I want us to think about this backpack as bondage. Maybe we have a backpack that has a whole lot of things in it that are hidden, that we don't think anybody else knows about. But yet it's in that backpack. We like the idea that nobody's ever going to open that backpack. Nobody's ever going to see it. That's bondage. Jesus here is offering us freedom. That's why I'm excited this morning. We don't have to walk with that backpack on our back. But we can walk in complete freedom because Jesus paid the price. We don't owe any, or He doesn't owe us anything. You know how many times that we come to the foot of the cross in prayer and we have the idea that Jesus, You owe us something. No, He doesn't. We owe Him everything that we've got because He paid for the price of our freedom. When we let sin be in control, many of us would call this freedom. As a matter of fact, when we talk to an unbeliever that's not willing to give his heart to the Lord, he's questioning. He would say, yeah, you're just one of those church people. You have a whole bunch of rules that you need to follow. There's no fun in that. What kind of a picture are we painting to those that we meet from day to day? Are we painting a picture of freedom in Christ, an exciting thing? Are we painting a picture, yeah, Sunday I have to go to church again? I know I'm going to have to sit there and listen to the preacher preach. Gets kind of boring at times. I'll make it. Is that the picture that we're painting? Are we painting a picture that freedom in Christ is awesome? It's beautiful. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Dominion has the idea of sovereignty or control. Dominating. We could get into the law, but we're going to bypass that for today. Then again, he comes to verse 15. He kind of asks this question again. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. God forbid. So because I'm justified, I can't continue to live life as I had before because of grace. But there's a change. We are set free. But there's something else that goes with this freedom. And this is where most of our churches, I say our churches, most of churches in Christendom today, this is where most of us hang out at. We believe that we're justified, just as if we hadn't sinned. And that's where we leave it. We're happy with that. Because God justified us. So now I can continue my walk as I please. Is that correct? No. I believe it was Nelson Koblen shared something one time about a man that had given his life to Christ in prison. And it wasn't that much longer after that. They were standing in a food line waiting, and the guy that had given his life was swearing and cursing, and Nelson made a comment to him. I believe it was Nelson that made a comment to him. What? I thought you had given your heart to the Lord. He said, yeah, but there was a pastor that told me, now that you've given your heart to the Lord, do as you want to. You're saved. Friends, that is false. We need to be convinced in our minds today that that is false. There's something that goes with justification, and that is obedience. Remember, I talked about obedience in a message not too long ago. Obedience out of the heart, not because we have to, but because we desire to, because we love God. Obedience. Let's go to verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom... That kind of verse kind of gets messed up. Let me read it in the New Living. It makes it really simple for us. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Is that clear enough? What we choose to obey, that's what we become slave to. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Verse 17 says that ye were the servants of sin. There was a time where we were living in sin, but ye've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And then Paul says something here. He says, because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. He says, previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led even deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteousness so that you will become holy. We call this sanctification. We talked about justification. Now we talk a bit about sanctification. Sanctification is a lifetime thing. We don't come to a place where all of a sudden, ooh, I'm totally sanctified. But sanctification is a lifelong process. The longer we walk with God, the more we are sanctified. There's a place that we come to later on in eternity, I believe, where we come to the place, now the word just left me, of glorification. Verse 20 talks about being servants to sin. Two different freedoms here I want us to notice in the next three verses. Verse 20, it says, when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. This is a freedom that we do not want. Free from righteousness. We were servants to sin. We had the freedom to do as we pleased. We called it freedom, but it was bondage. Can we realize that the freedom sometimes that we consider freedom to live in sin is really bondage? What is the end result? Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things where ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. We've all had things that we're ashamed of, we don't want to share. But when we bring him to the foot of the cross, he takes care of those things and he justifies us. And we continue our walk in sanctification. Let's look at the other freedom. In verse 22. He says, now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. And what is the end result? Everlasting life. So there's a difference here. One is death, one is life. Which one am I going to choose? Fact of the matter is, we all have the same opportunity here this morning. So what are we going to choose? Hebrews 12:15 says this. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I believe when he's talking here about looking diligently, he's talking about helping each other. No, we're not looking at each other to see where we're wrong. But do we as a brotherhood love each other enough that we're looking into each other's lives? This is an area where I can help my brother. This is an area where I can share. Let's not fail. Let's continue our walk. Let's continue to fight. We want to gain the victory through Christ. We don't want to fail. Is there power to live in victory? The last verse of the chapter says, for the wages of sin is death. Those are wages. That's exactly what we deserve, isn't it? Death. The free gift is what we don't deserve. The gift of God is eternal life. But it's what He offers us. How beautiful is that? Now I'd like for you to turn to Romans 7. There's a lot in here about the law that we're going to skip. But we're going to go to Romans 7, verse 12. Let's read verse 12 through 17, I believe, 12 through 20. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Did the law which was good cause my death? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, but that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Sin used to be what was good to bring about my condemnation unto death. So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commandments for its own evil purposes. It sounds just like Satan, doesn't it? He likes to take something good, just put enough of a twist on it to where it's false. Verse 14, I want us to look at this really close. This is Paul speaking here. And I want us to realize as Paul here is speaking, he's talking about the struggle that we have living under the sinful nature. Sometimes we take this scripture as, yeah, Paul was saved, but look at his struggles. Yeah, we do have struggles. But listen to what he says here with the idea that Paul is sharing here, talking about the old nature where he was at a time. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do not allow, for what I would do, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Sounds like a huge struggle, doesn't it? Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Being committed to sin, to the sinful nature, will not allow us to live in freedom. I find then a law, in verse 21, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He realizes this law. I'd love to be in this. But then he says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And listen to what Paul says at the end of this. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul could stop right there and he could have said, there is no way out. I've got so many struggles. There is no way out. I'm stuck. Maybe this morning that's how we're feeling here. We struggled. There's no way out. I'm so wretched. Who's going to deliver me? Friends, listen to verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you believe this morning that there's so much power in Jesus that we can live above sin? Now, I'm not saying that we don't fall. But when we are walking with Christ, when we give Him our lives and we turn everything over to Him, I want you to think about the fact that He came to the cross and He took our sins on Himself totally. There were not a couple of sins that He said, I'm not going to take these. He took everything because He wants us to live in freedom, total freedom. We do not want to put Jesus in a box and say, yes, Jesus, I know you died, but I'm going to keep you right in here because there's a few things that you did not do good enough for me. Jesus died to take everything. There's nothing that He held back. He died so we could have complete justification, complete sanctification as we continue our walk with Him. Do we believe that this morning? Do we have life in the Spirit? Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh the law of sin. Then he goes to verse chapter 8. And these are some words that are so precious. I go back to them and I look at them different times. Keep in mind that condemnation comes from Satan. Let's go to verse 1 in chapter 8. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are not taking this verse and twisting it to have the idea that I can live justified, I can do as I want to, and I am not condemned. We are taking this verse because Jesus did everything. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And if we accept the grace that He's given us, we can walk free. We have the idea that we have addictions. We cannot let go of them. Friends, let me tell you this morning, if you have an addiction you can't let go, it's because you chose not to let go of it. Jesus made a way for us that we can overcome. Sorry I'm getting loud this morning. But this is the burden on my heart this morning. So many times we're walking and we say we just can't do it. Of ourselves, we can't. But when we are committed, when we allow Him to have everything we have in our lives, and we accept that grace, that enabling power, He gives us what we need. And we can walk in total freedom. Doesn't mean we don't fail. That's the beauty of grace. We fail, we come back to the cross, and He says, "Child, I'll forgive you. Walk with me." Verse 2 says, "And because you belong to Him, the power of the living Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." I need to ask you this morning, are you free? Have you accepted that grace that He offers to you? Are you struggling because you haven't been willing to give Him everything you've got? I know what I'm talking about when it comes to struggling because I haven't given Him anything, everything I've got. I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to share with you a little bit of my personal experience with this. Vonda and I got married. I had made a profession, but yet I was bound. I didn't have that freedom. I was bound. Oh, I went to church. I could testify. I had good things to say. I had devotionals. But yet I was bound. Our youth pastor asked us to go on a hike with him. This was a very, very difficult hike. Now, I might have shared this before here this morning. I'm not sure. But it was a very, very difficult hike. We had set it up, if we're not out by Monday morning, to send help. It was up in the mountains of Arizona. We had gone down into a deep, deep canyon. And there were only a few places you could get out. Sunday afternoon, we came to a place where we could no longer get through. We didn't have the equipment to go over a waterfall and then another waterfall to continue our hike. So there was two options. One was to turn around and do the 2 days back. Day and a half back, I guess. And climb back out. The other option was go up over the side. I don't like heights. I will get in an airplane and I will fly, but I will not climb. I'll start climbing up the silo and I don't get very far. I turn around and go back because I don't like heights. And this was very steep. This was the hike where I had a 50-pound backpack on my back. And as I began to go up over the side of that cliff, I could look down and I could see way down. And I knew one little mistake. That's where I'm going to end up at. But that's not my final ending. My final ending is going to be in hell. Because I wasn't living for the Lord like I should have been. I remember one of the guys kicked up a rock up ahead of us. That rock came down and it just missed a couple of us as it went through. Would that have hit me and taken me down to the bottom? My wife would have lost a husband and Satan would have gained another soul. We made it to the top. And I allowed the others to go on ahead. But when I got to the top of that cliff, I met with God. And I told God, "I'm done. Hereout it's for you. It's no longer for Lynn. Hereout it's for you." Does it mean that I've had a beautiful, peaceful walk ever since? No. There's been many, many struggles. But God has always been faithful. And He will always be faithful for you. He will always be faithful for you. I'd like to close with a verse. And I'll just read this verse. You don't have to turn to it. So many times we have the idea, yeah, we're different. Yeah, we're different. The things that I face, yeah, they're so different from what everybody else faces. But friends, they're no different than the person next to you is facing on your bench. We all face those struggles. We all face the difficulties of life. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. This was Paul. Paul had struggled. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Paul wanted so bad not to have that thorn. Three times he says he asked to be released, that God would remove this from him. And this was the message that he got from God. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Friends, this morning, it is when we realize that we are weak. It's when we realize that we don't have it all together, that God comes in and He gives us that strength that we need. The enabling power to live above. May I ask you this morning, are you living in that power? I'd like for you to stand with me this morning. I don't normally give invitations. I wasn't planning on this morning, but I'm going to ask you this morning. If the Holy Spirit has been drawing you this morning, would you commit to allowing Him to have complete control of your life? Would you this morning accept that grace that He's offering you? It's a battle, friends. It's a battle. We're in the midst of it. But the grace is there for us to be free. I'm going to pray, and if the Lord's speaking to your heart, I'm going to ask if you would come this morning and allow Him to fill you with what He wants to fill you with. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, we're so thankful for Your grace. We're so thankful, Lord, for what You have prepared for us. We're so thankful, Father, that You paid the price, that You left nothing out. But God, You made a way for us to be completely free. To be completely free. Lord, it's nothing of ourselves, but it's only You in us and us in You, that we can have that power that enables us, Lord, to walk faithfully. Oh, Father, forgive us for the times where we haven't. Lord, draw us to Yourself. Father, speak into our hearts. Soften us. Bring us to a place, Lord, of no shame, but rather commitment. And Lord, when we leave here today, that we know that we are secure in You, that there's nothing between us and You, but You're Lord of our lives. How we bless You and how we thank You. Lord, we commit ourselves to You. Dismiss us with Your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.